and she is the social media specialist at M&R, and she works with clients like the American Lung Association to develop social media strategies. Megan specializes in helping nonprofits use social media to grow their audience, strengthen their advocacy campaigns, and take advantage of emerging trends. Prior to joining M&R, Megan worked at the Campaign for Tobacco-Free Kids, where she helped manage the organization's youth advocacy program. In addition to her work on behalf of M&R clients, Megan also has an active profile on Twitter, at Miss Health, frequently discussing issues related to health, food, and nutrition. So welcome, Megan.
So we've talked a little bit about Twitter, and so now I'm going to kind of turn things around and talk about specifically measuring what you're doing on Facebook. And I have no relationships to disclose. And before we do that, though, I want to sort of take a step back and talk about measuring success on social media just more broadly. And I'm sure it's most of you have sort of found out through your own efforts of social media, measuring success on social media can be trickier than measuring success even in other online methods like email. So it is really important to sort of take that step back before you start and really think about where social media fits in to your overall strategy, so what you're really trying to achieve with social media. So in some cases, you may have a specific campaign where your goal, you know, you're just targeting, say, an elected official on social media. And so your goal, obviously, is to get them to do what you want them to do. And in that case, it's really straightforward. But a lot of the things that social media is good for that we've talked about today, awareness, those interactions with people, are a lot harder to measure. So when we talk about defining social media, you should think about what is the behavior or action that you're really trying to drive, whether you're trying to increase those connections or increase that engagement, or if it's driving traffic to your website. And the reason that it's so crucial to do that is because with social media, it's really hard to go back after the fact and track what you should have been tracking all along to do that analysis at the end. So doing that up front will really save you in the end when you get done with your campaign and your boss is like, so how did we do? And you're like, oh, I can't actually tell you. So it's good to do beforehand. And so when you're trying to figure out what you're going to track, basically those metrics should match back, obviously, to what your goals are. So if you're trying to increase brand awareness, for instance, something like tracking the number of mentions on Facebook that your organization's received, the number of page views, things like that might tie back to that specific goal. So there's different metrics for different things, and we're going to talk about specifically some of those. But before we do that, I wanted to just quickly cover Facebook's newsfeed algorithm because it sort of guides part one of what you choose for your metrics is what your goals are, and part two has a lot to do with this algorithm because it affects your reach on Facebook. So essentially, Facebook has this algorithm that they use to determine what actually shows up in that newsfeed when you log in, and it's made up of three parts, and the first part really looks at the amount of interaction that the users had with your fan page in the past. So if they haven't liked your stuff, if they haven't commented on it, they're a lot less likely to see your material in their newsfeed in the future. So getting that interaction is really important for that reason. The second part is weight. It weights it based on a variety of factors, and one is, again, the number of likes and comments on that post. So pretty straightforward, the more likes and comments, the more likely it is to show up in someone's newsfeed. And that doesn't necessarily mean they have to have liked or commented on it. It just means, in general, this post has a fair number of likes and comments, makes it more likely to be seen. And then the type of content also influences its weight. So photos receive the highest weight, links also receive a high weight, and videos receive a high weight. But if you just post a plain text question, for instance, that's not attached to a photo or to a link, people are a lot less likely to have that show up in their newsfeed. And then perhaps the most unfortunate part of the formula is the manual post penalty. Facebook penalizes you for posting through a service like Hootsuite, as opposed to posting directly to Facebook. So some of the studies that have been done have shown that depending on which third-party app you're posting through, the penalty is a bit different, but it can be pretty significant. I think the last study showed some of the third-party apps were penalized by like 40%. You were that much less likely to have your post show up in the feed. So anytime that I switch to posting directly to Facebook, I always see a huge bump in impressions for the pages that I'm managing. And then time is the last one. So more recent posts, more likely to be seen. So with that in mind, the place that I work, M&R Strategic Services, we did this study this year looking at 34 nonprofit organizations, their fan pages over the course of all of 2011 to get an idea of some benchmarks for people to use to sort of help guide their own success. And one of the first things we looked at was just looking at size in a different way. Instead of just looking at plain numbers to see where they stood size-wise, looking at where they stood compared to their email list. And in general, we found that nonprofits size-wise had around 15,000 or so fans, and health groups specifically had less. They had around 10,000 or so fans on Facebook. But when we compared that to email list subscribers, it was 110 across the board fans per email subscribers. So that's one way to kind of look and see where you are compared to other groups in your area. So like if you have an email list for your organization, this basically found that for every 110, you had 110 Facebook fans for every 1,000 email subscribers that you had. Does that make more sense? And we also did find a correlation. Basically, if you have more email subscribers, you are more likely to have more Facebook fans. So there was that correlation there. Then something else that's important to look at is churn, which is basically just like email, people can opt out of receiving communication from your fan page. And they might do that for a variety of reasons. They might think that you're messaging them too much. They might just not be interested in what you have to say anymore. But it's a good thing to keep an eye on, especially during a campaign, to see if maybe you've hit that barrier where you're posting a lot and suddenly you're losing more subscribers than you're gaining, which is not good on your fan page. So a little bit to get in the weeds of how we did this. You can basically decide to stop hearing from a fan page two different ways. You can unlike them, that's the most straightforward one, or you can just choose to hide all their posts from your newsfeed. So you haven't actually unliked them, but you're never gonna see anything that they post ever again in your newsfeed. And those people still are counted as a like when you look at the number of people that like your fan page, but chances are they're not actually ever seeing anything that you post. So for that reason, it's important to keep an eye on the number of people that are just saying they don't want to see your stuff anymore. And so we looked at this on an annual basis for the year and basically found that 17% was the amount of fans that people lost over the course of a year. And so this is the health you'll see is a little bit higher. This is a benchmark that you can use when you're looking at your own churn to kind of see if you know you're above or below that. But really what's important is to look at your own benchmark. So to take a look at your Facebook Insights data and see what your own benchmark is, and then to have that for when you're running campaigns and you have increased periods of activity to see if you're rising above or below that. Another thing we looked at is feedback percentage, which has since been replaced by Facebook for a term that they made up called virality, because they like to do that. But this is still the essence of feedback percentage is it looks at the number of impressions. It takes the number of impressions on a post, and it looks at the number of likes and comments that you're getting for the amount of impressions that that post received. And so, we talked about what influences those posts being seen in the newsfeed and how crucial interaction is. So these are a couple examples of posts that had really high feedback percentage. Essentially, they had a lot of interaction for the number of times their post showed up in someone's newsfeed. And part of that had to do with the fact that they're asking for interaction. So Human Rights Campaign one is just literally asking you to like the post. And Oxfam America's is asking you to fill in the blank. And these, you know, like Oxfam's example, it's not driving you to their webpage. It's not getting you to take an action. It's not getting you to sign up for anything. But because those 79 people liked that post, and because those 140 people left comments, those people are now more likely to see Oxfam's posts in the future in their newsfeed. So by doing that, next time they post some piece of crucial information that they really need those people to see, they're that much more likely to see it. So that's why these posts that, you know, seem like just pure engagement are important, not just from the standpoint of developing those relationships, but also just for getting your message seen later down the line. So when you're trying to decide, when you're looking at your own activity and trying to see whether or not you're getting a lot of responses on your own content, basically when we looked at impressions and divided by likes and comments, we found that it's really low. Basically, for every, so to put it this way, people are not interacting a lot with your content. And so this feedback percentage is 26%. And so I'd definitely encourage you to take your own insights file and do this math out and see what you get. An easier way is Facebook right now has still got that feedback percentage on the posts when you look at it. So they haven't totally switched over to that new insights feed. So if you log in as an admin under each post, it'll tell you exactly what your feedback percentage is, no math involved. And if it's above 0.26%, then you are above the benchmark. And if it's below that, then you're below. So the new thing, to talk a little bit about the new benchmark, virality, it's actually taking feedback percentage one step further, and it's not just looking at people who like or who comment on your post. It's going to look at people who've engaged with your content in any way. And have created what Facebook calls a story from that. So by liking it, something showed up on their profile saying they liked your content, or they shared it with a friend, something like that. And so you'll actually get a sort of a better sense of how often people are interacting with your content. But what is great about feedback percentage is it's just looking at those two basic things that really impact that newsfeed algorithm. And then this last one here that has to do with activity is really simple one, and it just took the number of likes and comments divided by the number of users a fan page had. So what it's trying to get at is, of the people that you actually are connected with on your fan page, how many people are really interacting with you? And again, it was pretty low. So for every 1,000 users a fan page had, they only had 1.7 people actually liking or commenting on their content. So when you post, the good news is that when you post and you don't get a lot of likes or comments on it, that's not abnormal. you're right there with everybody else. And so when you do post and you see a post with a lot of likes and comments, you should feel really good about that. But this gives you a way to sort of look at your own content and see where you're at sort of across the board, and then strive, obviously, to increase that. And then the last thing we looked at was page views. And so how many of you have some sort of a tab on your Facebook fan page? Like a landing page tab or a quiz or, yeah. So we wanted to see how many people who had these tabs were actually having people visit their page and see the tabs that they'd spent all this time developing. And what we found was kind of sad. It was unfortunate that really, for every 1,000 page views, every 1,000 users they had on their fan page, they were only getting 5 views of their page. So really low. And what this basically says is that people aren't coming back to your page after they like it, which means a few things. One, it means you have to grab them when they're there. So one way you can do that is having a landing page that when they come to your Facebook page, the first thing they see is that landing page with one ask, and it's like us. There's no wall post to distract them. There's nothing to take them away from your fan page. It's just capturing them while they're there. And then you can do whatever. You can direct them wherever you want, to the wall, to a sign-up form, to a quiz, but you want to capture them while they're there because they may never come back. And then it also means that if you are going to develop that tab, if you're going to invest resources in there, you should think about, one, whether that's what you want to do, look at your own page views and see if many people are visiting your page. If not, it might not be a good idea. But if you are, it's important to think about how you're going to drive people to that tab, whether it's through Facebook posts or if it's through Facebook ads or some other method. You want to think about making the most of the time that you put in to really develop that page. And with them, this is one thing that we have found success with, which is making a landing page that hides exclusive content. So we've done this for some organizations where maybe they have an infographic that they've developed around a progress report, and you have to like them to get the infographic. And so those, we've always found, have a lot of page views because people really want to get to that content. So that works if you have something that people want. And in that case, it's a good idea to develop that landing page tab. But generally, across the board, we didn't see very many page views. And these are some of the nonprofits that participated in the study.